America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to a belated, somewhat, episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Felipe Denolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, everybody.
G'day.
Yo.
Hello.
For those of you who are wondering why we didn't have a show last week, basically, my Wi-Fi finally went...
It was really a perfect storm of things.
Yeah. Some of you probably had realized for the last few shows that my bandwidth had been kind of going yo-yoing a bit.
Yeah.
And then finally, it just decided to quit altogether.
Yeah. So did you, in fact, take the router out to the back of the woodshed and shoot it? Or
yes, I did.
Well, that is the humane thing to do.
I mean, because at that point, you just got to put the poor thing out of its misery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a cheap piece of shit anyway, so. Yeah. We got that thing from Walmart for like $30.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Pretty sure I know what one it is now. I'm sorry, yeah. Dude.
It's a Netgear, let me put it that way.
I'm amazed it lasted you this long.
Yep. Of course, keep in mind also, remember I told you a while back we were remodeling the kitchen?
Yeah.
And so that meant that we had to take everything out of the kitchen, mm-hmm. and sort of make a makeshift kitchen in the living room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Including the microwave.
Uh-huh.
And we kept the router in the same room.
Oh no.
Well, that'd be bad if you're using the microwave, but if you're not, it's not that bad.
Still, yeah. No. But anyway. Point is, though, it's all good now. We've got stronger than ever, and I have not had a single issue since.
Yeah.
Good. So, this episode is for March 15th, 2015. I mean, 2019. What the fuck I'm saying, 2015? Hey, Obama's still president. Yay!
That would be so...
Oh God! I didn't expect a reaction that deep, guys.
Every whole other year and a half before the disappointment comes.
Yeah, it was like I was being,
to wake up and it was all a dream.
Mm-hmm. I was being flippant about it. Jesus Christ! Wow. This week humanity sort of stepped up to the plate and showed how much of a piece of shit it can really be.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you this. We already had our main candidate for who the asshole of the week was going to be.
Mm.
And then one guy said, hey, hold my lager. And we'll be talking about him.
Apparently it was more than one.
It was actually
four people, I think.
Yeah. The same group. They had gotten organized. We'll get into all of that little later on. Needless to say, though, that it proves once again that white nationalism kills and that 4chan and 8chan really are the scum of the earth. But other than that, we got some other news. We got, once again, more candidates stepping up to the plate for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. Paul Manafort finally got the book thrown at him, whether or not, you know, the actual sentence is... equal to the crimes he's done is, we'll get to that. People are rediscovering once again that Tucker Carlson is an amoral, smarmy asshole. The Boeing 737 MAX 8 and 9 aircrafts are are grounded, and we're going to tell you why.
Because they're pieces of shit.
And let's just say that Boeing's going to have a heat big lawsuit on their hands. And we also got entertainment news, including a certain director who has been reinstated by Disney to a certain Marvel franchise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, a literary classic, one that I have struggled to read over and over but have never managed to finish, is going to be getting a Netflix adaptation, we'll tell you what. All that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, as always, to start us off, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So it's been a lot of the same stuff that I've been doing last week. Caught up on the Grand Tour, so just waiting for this week's episode to show up on Amazon, and I'm going to watch that probably tonight or tomorrow if it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Good, very good season. It's the third, and it looks like they finally hit their stride. They decided to just go ahead and nix the whole celebrity driving type segment that they used to do. Which, well, let's face it, it wasn't particularly interesting. And two, it gives them more time to, you know, focus on the stuff that they're actually good at, which is their, you know, their films and the chat / news segment that they usually
talking
do.
About.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's really made for a much better show, and I'm very much enjoying it. And now I got to download the game and try it, because Twitch Prime gave me a bunch of stuff for it, so I should play it. That's a thing that exists that I forgot about.
I completely forgot they made a game.
Yeah, me too. No, they never mentioned it once in the show, which is weird. Maybe it's not that great. I don't know. Either way, I've been doing that.
It would be sad if they went from Forza 5 to a dud, though.
Yeah. But, well, I'll download it, check it out, and report back, see how it is.
Cool.
Apart from that, I've been doing my Doom stuff. My knowledge is continuing to improve, and I realize that the more I know, the less I know. Which is a weird concept, but...
No, I get it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a whole lot that I've been learning, and it's been leading me down and, you know, a whole bunch of other paths that I didn't know I had to go down. So, it's proving to be a lot of fun, and stuff is happening. So there's that. Apart from that, DOA 6, which I am genuinely enjoying online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realizing that people have no idea what to do with Hela.
Yeah.
It's also...
she's a popular character, and nobody wants to put in the work.
Yeah.
And it seems like every fighting game franchise has one of those these days.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, she's actually better in this one than she was in 5.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with her. I'm also noticing that nobody seems to really quite grasp sidestepping yet.
No. No, they don't.
So.
Well, they grasp it in the sense that they'll bitch about it.
Yeah. They'll bitch about it when they eat sidestep attacks, like, all the time. Mm. So, hey, advantage for me.
Yeah.
And still has the cheapest fucking boss character in all of gaming.
Yeah. But I only had to fight him once, so now it's like I don't have to ever touch that again. Until they open up some other stuff, which hopefully they'll do, because there's a whole lot of empty space in that story grid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah. But what else? I watched They Shall Not Grow Old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Which is an amazing World War I documentary.
Yeah.
With actual...
I was going to guess that it was about anti-vax kids.
Nope.
No. Although that would be a fantastic title.
Yeah.
By the way, we got some anti-vax to talk about a little later. Yeah. So that is a Peter Jackson joint.
Yep.
Basically, it's a World War I documentary that, you know, collects a bunch of old footage from the war. Uses technology to lip read what people are saying, and then has actual voice actors to fill it in.
Yep.
So you actually like get a sense of what they're saying in that footage.
Yeah.
You've also got, you know, letters and some old documentaries from like interviews from like back in the 70s. Because I'm pretty sure there's not a single World War I veteran that's alive now.
Yeah, pretty sure they're all dead by this point. So
yeah.
It's,
I mean, they'd be, like, over 100, so.
Yeah. So, it's really good. It's, incredibly depressing.
It's World War I. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Unlike World War II, there is no clear bad guy.
Yeah. But, I just love how meticulous they were about how they put it together. It's they even went so far as to, in the selection of the people who were going to voice the people that were in those silent footage that they had, it's like they hired people who were from that region so that their accents would match up. Mm-hmm. That's the level of anal retentiveness that they went to, and I appreciate it. If Peter Jackson wants to do documentaries of that quality, then by all means, keep doing them. Because it was a whole lot better than Mortal Engines, let's just put it that way. Yeah, but so that's kind of been it for me. How about you guys?
We know I'm what still, it is.
Yep, Final Fantasy 14. I'm at the point now where I have accepted this as my new reality. The addiction just gets stronger and stronger as we get closer to Shadowbringers, and I just finished up the Heavensward main story on my new character. So I'm doing the patch content now, and a difference between this character and my previous one, I seem to be maining Dark Knight on this one. Right now it is out in front of my levels at 60 even, and Dragoon is still down at 57, so I wouldn't have guessed that going in, but I'm getting a lot more experience tanking, and I quite enjoy it. Most of all, I enjoy not having to wait a half hour for a queue to pop for legacy content, so tanks don't have that problem.
All right.
But yeah, I'm actually doing some mining leveling while we do the podcast.
All right.
I'm just waiting for the fan festival and the part two of the latest patch to come out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I went and saw Captain Marvel earlier this week. And it's pretty great.
It has actually, last I checked, it has quadrupled the amount of its budget in the box office. So
yeah,
and it's a financial success.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job of introducing a new character between the like two big Avengers movies, and being a good kind of like bridge between those two. Because if you saw the end of Infinity War, particularly the post-credit scene, it's basically Nick Fury using a pager to alert Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn, like, okay, who is Captain Marvel, and like how, what can they do, like, sets them all up. And so I think, like, as a standalone movie, it's probably not as good as some of the others. Have been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but particularly as like a way to give you, I guess, like a little bit of hope for going into the next movie, which is conveniently just 1 month away. It does a good job at that.
Is it a good kind of tension breaker after Infinity War?
For the most part, it's kind of a weird movie. Especially being set in the 90s, there's definitely lots of 90s music in it.
Mm-hmm.
Good music, in other words.
Some pretty good music, yeah.
But keep in mind, it is the 90s. So
yeah.
There's also shit.
There's always shit.
Yeah. They do show a bit of like the blockbuster at the very beginning of, at least when they're on Earth. Mm-hmm. There's some parts off of Earth. But yeah, it kind of puts a little spin on the Skrull thing, though I'm still kind of convinced that that's going to be like a big arc. The Secret War, essentially,
yeah,
is going to be a big part of that at some point.
It's the natural next place for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it gives them a convenient way, along with the who they bring back in Endgame, of getting rid of actors and potentially characters. And yeah, though I did like there's a good bit with Sam Jackson where they find out one of the characters they're looking for, her name is Mar-Vell.
Mm-hmm.
They never really say Captain Marvel at any point.
Well, that's because that – okay, so like the comics as far as like Captain Marvel goes, originally the Captain Marvel we have now is Carol Danvers. Originally, she was Miss Marvel. But she was given the powers of Captain Marvel by Mar-Vell, the original Captain Marvel, who is pretty much the only Marvel character that has died and mostly stayed dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
The punchline, if I remember correctly, is there is also a Captain Marvel over on the DC side.
Which came first.
Yes, came first.
I don't think his name was actually Captain Marvel originally.
No, yeah, his name was Captain Marvel originally. Okay. Shazam came about when DC got the license. He was originally called
Maybe
Captain
it was a different
Marvel.
Comic. Maybe the comic was different.
I think it was called Wiz Comics, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Marvel wasn't even around then. That's kind of the weird way it went.
Yes and no. Timely was around, which was sort of proto-Marvel.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Marvel as we know it now, no, they didn't exist.
Yeah. And there's a good bit where I think Brie Larson's character says just Marvel. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, like the Marvelettes is what Sam Jackson says. Starts singing some of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all just funny. Kind of watching that after seeing that really ridiculous anti-feminist review of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you know what? Let's save that for later on because we got a whole. Because
it mentions a scene in there where, gosh, somebody did something mundane.
Yeah.
Then
they got to go on the internet and complain.
Yeah, and it's. Then I realized, oh, they're both doing it.
Yep.
I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, the first Avengers movies ended with them getting falafels.
Mm.
Shawarma at the end. It's like, it's fine when superheroes do normal things. But yeah, that was a pretty good movie. Mm. The end credits scene. Definitely. Well, if you watch the Avengers Endgame scene, you basically see the second part of that. What happens right after that. But yeah, that's a good movie. And I'm ready for Endgame next month. Mm-hmm. And let's see, I watched The Umbrella Academy. It's on Netflix.
Yep.
One of their big recent shows. And it's kind of a mix of X-Men and Watchmen.
It's the Doom Patrol, basically.
Yeah.
This was created by Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. So it's essentially, the premise is there's 43 kids that were born on the same day by mothers who were not pregnant at the beginning of that day. And then this really rich guy happens to go around the world and tries to adopt as many of them as he can. And I think he gets, what, seven or eight, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them have extraordinary abilities.
Mm.
There's one that can like teleport.
Yeah.
Essentially like, by bending the space-time continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of figures out how to actually travel forward and backward in time.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that can kind of whisper suggestions into your ear and get you to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And the others have some pretty neat stuff with them as well. And it's kind of set at a point where they've kind of grown up and left the academy, mostly out of not wanting to stick around and just be bossed around by the old guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was essentially running the team, who kind of envisioned it being like the X-Men.
Yeah.
Having this team of superheroes that could save the day. But he was not anywhere like Professor X at all. He was not a personable person, wanted to help them like become better people, get to grips with their abilities, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely talk a lot about how he's just a shitty dad.
Yeah.
And yeah, the show, I'm about 5 or 6 episodes in. The episodes are about an hour each, 13 episodes. So it's a bit of an endurance trying to binge some of them.
All right.
So where I'm at, there have been some stuff revealed about the nature of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that can time travel has figured out that there's going to be some sort of apocalyptic event, and he's trying to figure out if there's a way to prevent it, if he can. And kind of weirdly enough, he traveled into the future, got old. Mm-hmm. And when he found a way to get back to the past, to his brothers and sisters, he warped into his old body mm-hmm. as he was like 12 or 13. So he's kind of acts like he's a lot older than he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good show. I'm going to definitely watch some more of it. As for games, I've been playing some of the Division 2 now that it is out.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's been pretty good. I had a weird instance where the servers like hiccuped when I was in the middle of the opening mission. Mm-hmm. So I had to restart it over again. But other than that, it's been, pretty good.
All right.
There's still been a little bit of server issues. I turned on an option that tells you like the server status.
Mm-hmm.
Or like your connection status, and it said the entire time server shutdown imminent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was just the server straining as people got on or what, but that was a bit weird to see the entire time as I was like...
What version is it?
It's the regular edition.
No, I mean, what system?
Oh, PS4.
I know there's PSN maintenance tonight, but that's not for a couple hours yet.
And I don't think that would be something a game would denote inside of it. That would just be, I think that's just their servers probably straining a bit as the vast majority of their people are getting on. Yeah, because I had some issues. So they got a lot of challenges and stuff, and they have some that are tied specifically through the Ubisoft Club that I could not activate for some reason. Which is like, hey, you know, get this many kills with the pistol this week. Take down, you know, elites, this many elites, that sort of stuff. Stuff that I could have done if it were ever allowing me to actually, like, accept them. But otherwise, yeah, that was just... It's been a little weird in spots, but otherwise I've been having fun with it. I'm definitely going to put some more time into it this weekend since I do not have any work to do. I'll probably do some streaming with that as well. Though I think tomorrow I'm probably going to be playing some of Stormdivers because that is having a community test on Saturday. So I definitely want to do a stream of that. And I've been doing a good bit of streaming on the Twitch channel. I played some Hitman 2 on Tuesday. I took on the elusive target that was up for this week. And managed to actually do it and not fuck it up.
Well, because you only get one shot at it.
Yeah. There was one I fucked up because it was set in the final stage of Hitman 2.
Mm.
And there's a shit ton of people all over the place. So trying to find the right person, I found them and then just fucked it up. Fucked up the execution right at the end. Mm. I was basically not paying attention to who was around me when I pulled out a gun. And alerted everybody around me that they should probably kill me.
Mm.
And eventually they figured it out and got me.
Yeah, generally pulling out a gun in public does that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was not paying that much attention to that part of it. I was like, oh, shit, there they are. I got a clean shot. Let's go. And it's like, oh, shit, I got to get out of here.
Fucking hate witnesses.
That did not happen this time around. I was just heading to Hawks Bay, which is the opening level of Hitman 2, which is just a house, basically, a beachside house. So I managed to take out a bunch of dudes that were hanging around on the outside of the building, take down the cameras, which didn't alert the guys around as much as they probably should. When like they hear like some sort of shot, the cameras just explode. But this is also a different version of that map. So when you're playing it regularly, there's nobody around as you infiltrate the house. Then once you do like the big thing in there, then everybody starts showing up, arriving in their cars. And this, when you get there, they're already hanging around. And it was centered around this woman who's a big evil CEO person, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she has a body double that's hanging around. They never tell you like any specific differences. So as far as I was concerned, they were the same. I believe they're exactly the same character model. So I was like taking down.
Both?
No, you can't take down. It's only for the the original person. So I ended up wandering around the house a little bit, on the outskirts, essentially, taking down dudes where I could, stashing them away so nobody was aware. I was trying to see if I could find a back door way into the house, or at least the top part, so I could do some stuff. And ended up just wandering up into the second floor as just before they came out. Then I heard the person, the woman that came out, said her name, her actual name. I was like, oh shit, that's the woman I need to kill. And so I quickly ran away, got around on the outside of the house while in some bushes. I pulled out my gun, popped him in the head, and just ran away. Because all they see is, oh, she's dead. What? And they just start freaking out. And by the point that they realized anything, I was halfway across the beach heading towards the exit. And luckily, there were no enemies hanging around near the exit as you get to that part of it. When you're playing it regularly, there are usually dudes hanging around, so you have to throw like an explosive away to distract them. And so, yeah, that all went pretty well. And I guess after that, I played a couple more missions. I kind of did some of the mission story stuff that I had not done yet, which went fine for Miami. I became the Florida man and poisoned the food so that the guy would have to go to the bathroom, and took him out that way. The other one, I did not get it in time for the race, but I had to essentially did the doctor ending, which you give her some like Botox, I think is what she's looking for. Or no, she's, I think she's like a blood transfusion or something. But anyway, you get some poison, deadly poison, and it's just hanging around the doctor's office for no reason. You just use that, inject it into the IV, and then she thinks she's gotten this, you know, transfusion. She walks away and just dies.
Oh.
All right. And it left us the doctor out of the ambulance. So that was nice and fun. Then I went to Mumbai, which is the third stage. And things did not really go well in that stage. Mostly because I was screwing around a lot. And I didn't realize some of the – when they needed me to do things, they weren't – they had timeouts essentially where if I didn't get to it at a certain point, it would just move on and say, well, you, that's no longer a thing you can do. So I ended up like screwing around for like an hour until I could just pop the targets and run away. Which worked out fine. As long as they're dead and you're not anywhere near where they think the killer is, you're fine. And I also streamed some SteamWorld Heist on Thursday, which is a great game. If you like XCOM or Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, that is very much that style of strategy RPG, but in 2D. Essentially, you're a band of steam-powered robots that are spacefaring, and you dock ships, and you go in and take out the robots, the evil pirates and whatnot that are inside, and take their loot and sort of you know, build up your loadouts. As you get more XP and level up, you get new bonuses, sometimes really good, sometimes okay. But yeah, that game's great. I think it's on sale on PSN right now. It just went off sale on Switch this past week, which is the version I got. And still doing my downloading stuff on PS4 thing. Let's see, the Division 2 was a hefty 89 gigs, which is about twice as much as the Xbox One version, which still doesn't make any sense. But yeah, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered is 75 gigs. Which doesn't make any sense why it's like 10 times what the original game was.
Yeah, that's
I understand higher res assets and such will boost it up a little bit, but not 10 times. They must be including like all of the possible audio you could use.
Yeah.
All the languages, even though you don't need it.
Probably.
That's something that's going to have to be addressed next gen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the one thing PS4 has doesn't have the provisions for that, but the Xbox does. So that might be why the Division 2 is smaller on the Xbox, because it's only downloading what you need.
Yeah, maybe.
Hmm.
I don't know how much they surface of that stuff.
Don't really surface it too much. You have to kind of dig in to find it, but by default, it just tends to only download your language.
Yeah. I kind of like at least having the choice of that stuff.
Yeah.
Just so I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Versus like just trusting that the system works. Which is usually ends up poorly when they announce like, oh, the Halo Master Chief Collection has all these options for what you want to install first and whatnot. Yeah. And I was just like, I can't figure all this out, so just download it all.
Download everything.
I'll play it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's usually how it all works on this stuff. I think I was downloading, what was it, The Last of Us maybe on PS4, and it's like, do you want to download the multiplayer or single player? It's like, I'm not playing it yet, so it doesn't really matter. Just download it. I've just been downloading a lot of the smaller stuff I have. Throwing in a couple bigger things like Tales of Zestiria. I think that's the one Tales game I have on there. I downloaded the Naruto trilogy. Ultimate Ninja Storm trilogy.
Yeah.
Because I got the bundle that had all four games in the DLC. That was cheaper than any of that stuff on its own.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make any sense. Yeah, there's a good one in the new sale on PSN. Konami has the bundle of the Metal Gear Solid HD collection on Vita, which is just the two games. It's $30. Yeah. Individual games are $15 each, essentially, so it's not really a good bundle deal. And they put the games themselves individually on a higher discount than the bundle is.
Yeah.
Whoops.
So the games are like 75% off. The bundle's like 66% off.
Hmm.
So it's like, hey, this thing's $10. The games are like $3.75. There's a problem here.
Hmm.
It's like, yeah, because you're stupid and didn't put the bundle pricing right.
Hmm.
Much less do the discounts at the same rate.
Hmm.
That's a common thing for Japanese companies, I guess.
Yeah.
Capcom, Bandai, Namco, and Konami. Don't know how math works. Or at least in the West. let's see. I think it's... And I played Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition HD.
Hmm.
I got that from the recent Square Enix sale. And it's pretty good, actually. So it is like a pared-down version of Final Fantasy XV.
Hmm.
I think it's pretty much the same story. It might have just less of it in there. But... the combat's pretty... It's similar, but it's simpler. Hmm. Like, you don't have to worry about too much when you're doing it. It's all the same sort of, like, action RPG kind of combat. You can warp around a bit. Occasionally, some of your party members will have the ability to use their, like, special moves. And you can just hit the X button to use them, all that sort of stuff. But otherwise, it's kind of just, you know, use your attacks. I think with Noctis, you have three different types of swords. So it gives you a little bit of variety there. So, like, I've been using the Great Sword lately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit slower than the others, but you get more damage with it. But then you can also just warp around. So they got counters and dodges that happens when enemies just decide they're going to jump on you or whatever. And that stuff is just... hit X when that, because it slows down for you. It's not an open world game anymore. It's kind of just you go to this next area and there's this fairly decent amount of space to go around and explore. You're going through like the combat areas, that sort of stuff, and you just try and pick up all the items that are strewn about. That'll be like a sparkly light or this like weird like pile of sand that you like dig up. And so you're just kind of going through and it feels more like the original games a little bit as far as just being streamlined and not just throwing systems upon systems at you. The cooking stuff is still kind of in there. It's mostly just the dude just interrupts. She's like, hey, you picked up a food component. I got an idea for a recipe. And it's just like there's one other item you'll pick up if you're just picking up everything. Mm-hmm. And you get to it, and then whenever you go to like settle down next to take a break, they'll just cook it as they introduce whatever the next story thing is. And so I finished the first chapter, which I assume on mobile it must have been sold in chapters, because I think there are like four or five of them here, something like that. So I got the first one done. It was about 3 hours maybe. So it seems like it might be like 15 to 18 hours, something like that. Pretty good amount of game time in there for that. And it's a much better version of what the original game was, because that was too much. I got bounced off a couple hours in when I was playing a pinball game at a diner, and it never ended because it was so easy. And that's always the worst kind of pinball. When it takes like 45 minutes to kill yourself. And okay. I think that's been pretty much it. Weather-wise, it was trying to break out of the cold. It was in the 70s yesterday. Then we got a tornado warning. It's a really bad storm coming down. I managed to leave from work as the rain was starting to get started. And by the time I got home, it was raining pretty good, and I got inside and it's like, all right, I'm not going anywhere now. And the storm hit. We got like tornado warnings about like 8:15, somewhere around there, and I think it ended about 8:30. And now it's back down to the 30s. And it's going to be like that for a few days at least, so nice try, Mother Nature.
All right.
It's springtime versus winter here. So far, winter's winning.
All righty. Well, then. As for me, I have mostly been playing Anthem. Now that my internet doesn't suck, I haven't had a single issue with it. Which means that really the only problem I've got with that game are those fucking loading screens. It's not necessarily look, I grew up playing gaming in the 90s, so loading screens really don't bother me that much.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, if you were part of the PS1 generation, you just learned to deal with them.
You were molded by it.
Yeah.
I played a Neo Geo CD, so yeah.
Yeah. With that game, it's not the loading times being long, it's that there's so many of them.
Yeah, basically when you go from one section to the next, there's going to be a loading screen.
Yeah.
That's where it gets bad in games.
But, you know, other than that, I mean, it's not really a problem. It's a lot of fun. I'm currently at I'm at level 18 now. It's a lot of, it really is genuinely a lot of fun. There is something just so enjoyable about being able to just, you know, get up and fly like in an instant like that. I will grant that I do think that the overheating happens a little too fast for my liking.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just a fun game. Definitely much more fun than any other looter shooter I've played. That includes Destiny, which is garbage. But other than that, I've also been trying to play Apex Legends. Note, I use the word try.
Yeah.
Because there is no way to go into that game as a newbie and not get slaughtered.
You kind of have to hope that you're in a party with somebody that knows what they're doing. They're willing to help you out.
Yeah. I mean, I was never good at Battle Royale to begin with. I mean, I sucked at PUBG, and don't even get me started on Fortnite, but but yeah, it's an issue. But I mean, it's not anything against the game itself. The game itself is absolutely solid. Definitely earns the praise it gets, especially considering it was basically the only thing that kept EA from going into the red last quarter, apparently. I'm not joking, by the way. Apparently, that is what their quarterly reports revealed, which should tell you something about the people who are currently running EA.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you shouldn't expect a big corporation to always be in the black. They're going to go into the red at some point if you're doing business properly, but...
Yeah, if the stock market can't accept that.
Yeah, that's what happens when you make your company public.
Mm-hmm.
What killed it's what almost killed Disney, and it's what pretty much killed Don Bluth's whole career. But so that game also really good. Doing my usual reading as well. I've got a copy of The Wandering Earth, which, for those who don't know, that is a short story collection from Shizen Liu, who of course is the writer of The Three-Body Problem.
Yep.
And that whole trilogy. Also Ball Lightning.
Hmm.
Which have you read that one yet, Phil?
That one I haven't read yet, no.
Yeah, okay. But basically it's the same type of mind-breaking shit that you expect from him. The Wandering Earth, the actual title story, is literally about people installing giant mountain-sized engines on the side of the Earth so that it can fly away from its orbit and escape from getting engulfed by the sun.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of the standard we're talking about here.
I like it.
If you've read Three Body and you're thinking, man, he can't keep this big, insane scale to everything he writes. Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be an entire book to do it.
Yeah, it's like you're describing that, and I'm half expecting like Exhibit to come out and like start announcing Pimp My Planet or something like that, because that's the kind of thing that it does sound like.
I would watch that, by the way.
And other than that, Netflix, because last night, well, technically it came out today, but if you know anything about how Netflix shows do, they usually premiere on 3 a.m. Eastern Standard.
Yeah.
Which is, I got to watch a couple of the episodes of it. Love, Death, and Robots, which is an all-animated anthology that's basically what it says on the tin. It's basically all genres. It's all balls to the wall insane. It is very not safe for work. And most, if not all of them, involve robots in some fashion.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that on my front page on that.
I'm pretty sure a few of these are just game pitches that are hiding as short films, but...
Yeah.
Some of them definitely work. Don't get me wrong. The first one looks like something straight out of Cyberpunk 2077. There's another one that is based on a short story from John Scalzi. It's basically about a couple of robot tourists on a post-apocalyptic Earth. And it is meme-tastic from beginning to end. It is legitimately hilarious. There's also another story about a bunch, and this is the one I think could definitely work as a game if you were to make it. It's about a sort of farmer town that is apparently in the midst of being invaded by some kind of alien presence that keeps like breaching like their dimension or their fields or whatever, and so the farmers, in order to deal with this, they constructed their own mechs.
Okay,
because that totally seems like the logical approach to that.
Let's just say the twist at the end that they show at that, when you realize the scale of it, it's like, oh yeah, I could definitely play this on Steam. There's some other stories in there. A couple of them are also based on old Alistair Reynolds stories as well. It's like I said, definitely not safe for work. There is full on
not HR appropriate.
Nope, animated jubblies all for everyone to see. Damn, is it good? If you got Netflix and you got access to it, go watch it as soon as you finish listening to us, because it is 100% worth watching. If you believe that's all, okay, I think that's it. Yeah, does anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
I'm good.
All right, well then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And real quickly, I'm going to post an image here into the chat. We'll have it linked to in the show notes. A little image here I want y'all to see. And I want to know if any of y'all recognize this, okay?
Okay, yeah, this does look familiar.
Okay, are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Okay, so to those of you who are wondering what this is the POW MIA flag. It's a large black flag. It's got a little circular image of a dude in like a prison camp. And then underneath it is inscribed the phrase, "You are not forgotten." Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know what POW is. That's a prisoner of war. Yes. Yeah. And of course, if you're a prisoner of war, there are certain, international standards that a country has to adhere to if they keep you as a prisoner of war.
Or expected to.
Mm-hmm.
Not always necessarily good at honoring them.
Guantanamo! But there's also what's known as POWKIA, which is killed in action, right?
Right. Yeah.
Here we have MIA, which is missing in action, which is pretty much the assumption that you're basically not coming back. They're just not ready to go ahead and call you dead yet. They haven't found the body, is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But now, if you live here in the U.S., it's pretty common that you've seen this flag somewhere at one time or another. With like military families or families of veterans, stuff like that, right?
Right.
Really common image everybody sees. Do you know what the origin of this flag is?
No.
Okay, so let me answer that with a quick question. How many have ever seen Rambo Part 2?
Oh, yeah.
The one where he goes into Vietnam to get a bunch of secret American POWs that the Viet Cong is still holding?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because back in the 80s and well into the 90s, it was actually commonly believed that the Vietnamese were still holding American POWs.
Okay.
In fact, it was so widely believed that this flag would actually be flown over state houses. The Reagan administration even used it to sort of, when they were getting ready to, to try and stir up, anti-communist sentiment. There were even like these supposed like abortive missions into Southeast Asia to find these American POWs. Here's the thing: there are none. There never were. Shocking. After the war ended and the helicopters left Saigon, the Vietnamese had all handed over all the American prisoners of war that they had. In fact, the last one left in 1973.
Yeah.
But
that didn't solve the narrative.
No, that didn't solve the narrative. It was a widely held and still somewhat held. I mean, there are still people who believe this shit. A conspiracy theory that the Vietnamese are still holding American prisoners of war and that our government is covering it up so that they can stay on good terms with the Vietnamese government.
Okay. Well, that's the conspiracy theory. So
yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, the original group that started selling this flag, which was an organization technically still around called the National League of Families of American Prisoners and Missing in Southeast Asia, they actually originally started that manufacturing that flag as like a fundraising measure. Now, I want to point out that nowadays that particular organization focuses mostly on modern POW, MIA issues and like actual wars, including Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they also are involved in identifying and bringing home any remains that are found, any former POW camps in Vietnam or Korea, South Korea. But there's also a lot of really bad actors who, of course, would use this conspiracy theory in order to enrich themselves. For example, there used to be this dude. He's still around, technically. This guy in the 80s, his name was James Bo Greitz. He was an ex-Green Beret who served in Vietnam, and then in the 80s he went completely off the deep end, and then he started hiring a bunch of mercenaries to try and go into these privately financed missions into Laos and Vietnam to try and find these supposed POWs. He was the vice presidential candidate for David Duke's 1988 presidential campaign.
Shocking.
He was also on the Populist Party ticket in 1992. These days, he basically has gone completely fucking bonkers and now talks about the New World Order, global government, the Illuminati, the Alex Jones circuit, basically. Yeah. He wants to end all foreign aid, abolish the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve, and fixing the national debt by just printing money. Oh, yeah, and he also has a radio show. Does that surprise you?
I'm not surprised. I'm only disappointed.
Also, funny thing, at least two of these privately funded operations, some of the funds were actually traced back to the People's Republic of China. As for those of you who don't know, back in the 80s, the PRC and Vietnam were not getting along very well. That was when Deng Xiaoping was premier. But basically, if you want to know like how like this type of conspiracy theory keeps coming back, it always manages to come back. Because there's always this one douchebag who will write a letter into, like, the editor of their local newspaper. And dumbasses will pick it up and just spread it all over social media. And unfortunately, in 2013, a couple of film critics from Toronto, Canada, did a review for a very, shall we say, not trustworthy documentary called Unclaimed, that claimed that a so-called KIA POW was still living in a village in Vietnam. By the way, the guy that was the subject of this film, he turns out he was a known hoaxer. They took DNA samples from him, and they took DNA samples from the person, the remains that were originally supposed to identify from John Hartley Robertson to compare the two. There wasn't a match.
Naturally.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that, of all things, Ross Perot got into this shit?
That vaguely sounds familiar because I think I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, him and Congressman Bob Dornan, they both got into these grassroots POW organizations and kind of made the whole thing come about again. But anyway, that's the origins of the POW/MIA flag. It's basically an emblem that was started on a conspiracy theory that has managed to just sort of be reclaimed for actual issues. But there is still a good 50-50 chance that if the person is flying this flag, they probably believe it.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yep. Well, we're not missing an action, so we'll have
to. No, we are not. All right. Now we got to start the show proper, and as always, we have to start off with the most unsavory part, which is, of course, our assholes of the week. And we actually had who was going to be our candidate for assholes of the week this week. We had it pretty glued down, in fact.
And what we ended up with was an instructional on what to do if you want to be a last-minute entry in the running.
And then an Australian dude and a couple of his friends in New Zealand decided to arm themselves up, go into a couple of mosques, and murder 49 people in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Yep.
He had shotguns, he had assault weapons, he had written white nationalist propaganda over all of them. He live-streamed a good chunk of it.
And he posted his manifesto on 8chan.
Yeah.
Which ties this whole thing into THQ Nordic, that whole shit show.
Oh, right! I forgot about that.
Yeah, so now this just brought that whole thing back up for people. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hey, remember that site that they intentionally signal boosted?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It's not. There's nothing innocent about that site.
Remember, 8chan is what all the people that 4chan could no longer stand went to.
8chan's where all the people that thought the rest of 4chan were SJWs went to.
Yeah. That should give you the idea of the type of people that, you know, are involved there. At least part of it. One thing about 8chan is that unlike 4chan, 8chan actually has, like, legit left-wing subs that are run and moderated by actual lefties. But they get invaded by the Nazis every so often, so... and it is still Chan culture, which is
the worst.
Carcinogenic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not good for your health.
No.
So in this dude's manifesto, where to begin? So first of all, he basically called out President Donald Trump as a symbol for white identity and renewed purpose. Not necessarily his actual policies, but yeah. And then in his manifesto, when it was asked, was there anybody that specifically inspired you most? He called out Candace Owens.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah. There was, when he first started shooting, he basically said, subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yep.
So we've got meme culture in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and PewDiePie and his community has been basically in this weird sub-feud. As in subscription feud,
mm-hmm.
With T-Series, a YouTube channel of Indian people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably spend an hour on this on its own.
Yeah, they're just, both fine. Yeah,
I don't even know what's going on, but it sounds like the douchiest thing that ever happened.
It is.
Yeah, it's basically they're both like the top two most subscribed channels on YouTube. And whenever T-Series gets close to PewDiePie or surpasses them, a bunch of white people get mad and want to make sure the white guy is on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they have these college kids hack a bunch of printers mm-hmm. to tell people to subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yeah, so he posts. Yeah, and so this happened on 314 Pi Day. So PewDiePie was tying into that of telling people to subscribe for Pi Day. I looked at the comments on his post for that day, and it's like, I'll be like, you know, subscribe or you'll die sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this aged really well. It was like a few hours before this thing happened.
Yep. It's like watching cheese spoil in real time.
Yep.
But, and then he also, like, there's a part where he's like, they were asking, like, are there any video games? Were you inspired by video games? He's like, oh, I used to play Spyro and some other shit. Which, one of the things about his manifesto you'll find out really quickly is that he's part serious and part trolling in some of it. And Candace Owens, for her part, basically acted exactly how you expect her to act. You know, I've said before that when it comes to Candace Owens, you look into her eyes and you realize that the wheel is spinning, but the hamster is dead.
Yes.
She basically took it all as a joke. She even said, lol.
Oh, dear.
49 dead.
Lol. 49!
Yeah. That just gives you all you need to know about what type of person she is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
remember the one that said that the problem with Hitler that it was that he was a globalist?
And
That Candace
there's
Owens.
yeah.
ties into people like Jacob Wool,
Mm-hmm.
who we didn't really put this on here because I just now remembered it.
Well, we might as well bring it up anyway.
He decided to create some alternate accounts on Twitter and give death threats to himself.
Yep. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Got too much
Well,
money and time on his hands.
yeah.
But yeah, I also saw some coverage of this whole thing. It's like, oh, these peaceful mosques, like they're all peaceful. All churches are peaceful.
Yeah.
There's not many that are not peaceful, but just because they're Muslims, that doesn't mean they're somehow different than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you might have looked at his manifesto where he's talking about an invasion. If you look at New Zealand's demographics, you'll probably be asking yourself, what the fuck invasion is he talking about? Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, New Zealand is reasonably ethnically diverse, but.
They probably got some refugees.
Yeah. But it is still an overwhelming number of white Kiwis in that place.
Oh, yeah. Though the killer is from Australia,
Yeah, that's important to point out.
where they
By the
have
way,
strict gun laws and all that.
oh yeah, very strict gun laws. Well, because they had that one big massive mass shooting, and that was basically the last straw for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
why can't we have nice things like that? Where just one time is enough to drive them to change.
But let's see what else. Because there's an awful lot of shit that went along with this. Donald Trump, of course, went on Twitter and he's talking about his unequivocal condemnation of the action. And then, like a few minutes later, started talking about the quote unquote invasion on our southern border, like literally within a few minutes of each other.
Yeah, it's not like his rhetoric has already caused this sort of thing to happen
Well, I
with
mean,
the Pittsburgh.
he's named in it specifically.
Yep.
Yeah, though I mean directly in the U.S. where we had the mosque shooting in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, let's see what else. Oh yeah. Some folks took some screenshots from places like Breitbart and The Donald on Reddit to sort of show you the kind of comments they were getting there. It's exactly what you think.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to remind yourself that there is such a thing as human garbage.
No, I never need a reminder of that.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just. It's. Once again, we have to remind people, white nationalism kills.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, when it comes to this type of shit, you have to take your liberal ideas about freedom of speech and you got to put them away in a box because you don't debate with neo-Nazis.
No.
You beat neo-Nazis
Yeah.
hard
Yep.
over and over again.
Yeah, like the vast majority of mass
In
shootings we've
fact,
had in the last
go
like
ahead.
few years have all been from white people.
Yeah. In fact, just to point it out, in this dude's manifesto, he actually addresses MP people, Antifa, Marxist, and communists, basically just anyone who's to the left of Genghis Khan, to him, and he says, "I don't want to debate with you. I don't want to share power with you. I want you in my sights. I want you dead. See you in hell, you anti-white scum." See?
Not much room
Yeah.
for interpretation there.
Yeah, so we can't dilly-dally around this shit anymore, people.
Nope.
We can't. There is no more of that, you know, both-siderism, enlightened centrist bullshit. That doesn't apply here.
Boundless tolerance.
Yeah, there is right and there is wrong. It's really that simple. But We still had our other major candidate for Assholes of the Week, and these, again, until late last night, these guys were going to be our candidate. The FBI revealed something they called Operation Varsity Blues. I don't know who the fuck names this shit up in the FBI. Whoever they are, somebody needs to kick them in the dick. But they found a massive scandal involving famous actresses, CEOs, various rich people, basically revealing what, let's be honest, what most people have known. Legacies are bullshit when it comes to college admissions.
Yeah, though most people are smart enough to donate directly to the college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they get their like free passes for their kids.
Yep.
Versus hiring shady people to change scores and such. Yeah, so this is like, these are all the dumbest rich people that have been caught in the last few days.
Yeah.
I think it's 50 people total were charged, including two actresses, Lori Loughlin, you might know as Aunt Becky in Full House.
Yep.
Let's see, the other one is Felicity Huffman, who is in, what was she in? Let's see, Desperate Housewives.
Yep.
She's married to, who's William H. Macy. So I think her whole thing here is, let's see, she paid $15,000 to a guy's fake charity, the Key Worldwide Foundation, to facilitate cheating for her daughter on the SATs.
All right.
Let's see. Lori Loughlin paid, let's see, $500,000. I know. Her and another guy, Giannulli, paid bribes in totaling $500,000 in exchange for having their two daughters designated as recruits to the USC crew team, even though they did not participate in crew.
And so there was like a bunch of like sports scholarships that were basically handed over to people that did not deserve it whatsoever.
Yeah. And it's like, this is USC.
Yeah.
USC's not that high of a bar. To be getting paid into. Like, if you're not paying for fucking Ivy League school, if you're not paying $500,000 for your kid to get into Ivy Leagues, like maybe Jared Kushner, his dad, who people know for a fact did that.
Yep.
Which that whole thing got brought back up again as a result of this. Yeah, those two people have been charged. I don't know if there's a whole list here or not. But yeah, lots of kids who got into school are not going to have their parents for a while.
Hey, white privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I know it's pretty much the standard mantra of this show. But once again, we have to wheel it out. Dust off the mothballs for all to hear.
Yeah.
Say it with me. One, two, three. Do you want the French Revolution? Because this is how you get the French Revolution. Yes.
Yep.
You know, eventually they'll get it through their thick skulls or else they'll lose them. But
yeah. Yeah, lots of stupid rich people have more money than sense.
Yeah, what was it that one woman's daughter was like found on like when she was basically like she was arrested. Like obviously a bunch of these people are going to court.
Yeah.
But I think it was her daughter basically was like arrested while she was on like a yacht with the school's like board of directors or something.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah, I know. I think Lori Loughlin's daughter is an influencer, and so she got sponsorships that pulled out. So yeah, that makes sense. That also sucks for her because, you know, her mom did this. I don't know how much the kids in these situations have direct influence on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one in particular said that she didn't really care that much about school and just wanted the experience of it more than anything.
Yeah, she's
there are plenty of party schools in California if you want to do that.
I think like half of the schools in California are party schools.
Like Berkeley and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Berkeley's for.
And you're rich enough that, you know, anything bad happens, you can pay for to get them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're rich. But now they're going to jail. So have fun with that.
Yeah.
Now we just need to figure a way to get the rest of the rich assholes that break the law.
Or do this shit on the reg, because here's the thing. These people just got caught, but they aren't the only one.
We need a purge.
This is pretty much, I guarantee you, this is pretty much going on in every single major college in the United States.
Oh, yeah, there's been an ongoing investigation over the coaches and such getting paid or paying players to essentially accept the recruits to their school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, for whatever reason, been taking a few years now. And some of those coaches that are still on the teams that are being investigated for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this works.
We just need a top-to-bottom systemic audit of this entire culture.
Yep.
Mm. Yep.
I volunteer for head of purge. But now, to wipe that awful taste out of our mouth, we have our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is a zoo. Because some dumb bitch actually tried to crawled into a jaguar pit, and the jaguar did exactly what you thought it was going to happen. Because as she tried to take a selfie with the jaguar went nom.
Stupid game, stupid prizes.
And the zoo came out and said, we are not going to euthanize this jaguar.
That's usually how it goes, is they do kill them.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever.
Because humans are stupid. Yeah. But they're like, no.
I have to get my selfie with the zoo animals, and I can't be doing it through the cages.
Remember, jaguar, dangerous predator, on par with a fucking lion.
Actually nastier than a lion.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And probably the only ones that are worse are probably like hippos.
Mm. Yeah. Those guys basically shit like a helicopter before they kill you, at least. But... yeah, so good on you, zoo. What zoo is this, by the way?
Let's see here.
Hold on, I'll check. God damn it. No, I don't want to whitelist shit.
This is why the internet sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, we got it linked in the show notes.
Yeah. We can't find it in the story right now.
But, yeah. I do, however, suggest euthanizing this woman because she's too stupid to live.
Well, didn't the jaguar do that for us?
Did she survive?
Yeah, I think she's okay. Oh. Yeah, basically got her clawed her arm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Why does luck always go to the undeserving?
Well, there are a lucky handful of people that die taking selfies every year.
Yeah. In fact, I think the Darwin Awards had to make an entire category for it.
Yeah.
Selfie.
All right. So, now on to the proper show proper. And first and foremost, Alex Trebek, the former Canadian singer and longtime host of Jeopardy!, which I've honestly always kind of preferred over Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Because I'm that kind of asshole. has announced that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, basically said, you know, he knows the odds of beating this.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's going to fight anyway.
And he mentioned because he still has 3 more years of hosting Jeopardy! In his contract.
Yeah.
So he's obviously in good spirits about it.
Yeah.
He basically wants to outlive his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
pancreatic cancer is also what killed Steve Jobs. So
yep.
I point that out.
Yeah.
It's
of course, you also got to remember that Steve Jobs also foregoed modern medicine. because
initially
he was one of those holistic medicine douchebags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he did eventually go over to regular medicine, but by then it was too late.
Hmm.
If he had started out with the regular medicine in the beginning, maybe he would have survived. Be with us. Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually kind of admitted that on his deathbed.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's just a shame that it took that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's in good spirits. Trebek's, I mean, he's been hosting Jeopardy since the 80s. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a good 30 years.
Yeah.
And I know he and Pat Sajak are best friends.
And could not be more politically different.
No.
Yeah.
But you'd have to be best friends because considering your shows have foot-ended each other for over 30-something years.
Yeah. And also they both, you know, work at the same lots.
Yeah.
At the same time because they make all those episodes.
I'm pretty sure there's been at least one Jeopardy Wheel of Fortune crossover at least once.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like the way they film those shows.
And there's probably footage of them in the nursery together.
Yeah.
And the way they film those shows is like over the course of a month or so, they film you know, 6 months worth of episodes in quick succession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they get to go on vacation for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I wasn't kidding about that singer part. Alex Trebek actually started out as a teen idol in Canada.
That's fucking hilarious.
We know.
Yeah. See, Phil knows. I'm sure there's still footage of him from that era you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah.
There's also footage of Celine Dion from that era, so buyer beware.
Yeah.
Although back then she sang in French and she was actually good, so
yeah,
I'll just leave that one.
I don't know. We'll need receipts on that, Phil.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I was going to say you guys probably should have apologize for Bryan Adams years ago, but that ship done sailed.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to ask for you to apologize for Nickelback.
Yeah, I nothing I can do about Nickelback. They're a perfectly serviceable rock band that has a lot more talent than they actually seem to display on a daily basis.
We'll just have to agree to disagree on that.
Basically, what I'm saying is that they're lazy assholes.
Their first album was okay. That's what I'll give you.
Well,
that's as far as I'm willing.
Their first album was the pinnacle of their writing, and that's not saying very much.
Oh, boy.
And I think a lot of the hate that they get is because the internet tells them to.
Yeah.
You ever heard a whole album from them recently?
I was with you up until the whole album bit, and then it got more and more specific, and no, not recently.
Yeah, because they released one like last year or the year before, 2017, I think, album that came out, and it was meh. Yeah. But they're amazing live. That's the really shitty part.
And they've never been able to transfer it to record for some reason.
No.
It just, I do in fact admit it. Yes, they are an amazing live band, but they cannot do for shit in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know who's really good at getting bands to sound the same way in the studio that they do live?
Yeah.
Bob Rock,
yeah, who actually has produced one of their albums.
Oh, so he's tried already.
Yeah. Fuck!
He washed his hands of it.
Oh.
Like, if I can't make these guys sound good in the studio, nobody can. But anyway. All right, next up, big story of this week. Mr. Paul Manafort finally got his sentences for prison. For the first one, he got 47 months in prison in the first case, which is about
just under 4 years.
Just under 4 years. He also received in the second trial. Are you sure it was 43? I thought it was 75 months.
47 months.
It's 90 total.
Yeah. Oh.
7.5 years.
Seven and a half years.
But he's also already served 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that cuts a little bit off of it too.
Yeah. So he is basically going to be in prison for about 7.5 years.
I think it could cut to
like 6 something.
Yeah, with good behavior, it'll cut down to about 6 years.
Yeah. But don't get just yet, because it's pretty likely that the prosecutors in New York City are going to be biting at his heels pretty soon.
At which point he will be dying in prison.
Yeah, because those first two are federal. This is state we're talking about, and state will throw you away and lock away the key if it wants to.
Yep. Yeah, 16 counts related to mortgage fraud, conspiracy, and falsifying business records.
He's fucked.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see some of the statements about the first case, I think it was, the judge said?
It's like, well, he's lived an otherwise blameless life.
Which is like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's a known sleazebag.
Yeah. This is the guy who started up a law firm with freaking Roger Stone.
So if these are state charges, he doesn't go to Club Fed.
Oh, no. He goes into regular pound me in the ass prison. And you know what they say about pound me in the ass prison. The warden is a real dick.
what?
But yeah, he, like I said, state don't care. State will straight up throw you in a hole and swallow the damn key.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to see.
It's also unpardonable, isn't it?
Yeah, state charges cannot be pardoned by the United States president. Only person who can pardon those are the governor. And
that's not likely to happen.
Nope. But yeah, yeah, so hope he enjoyed freedom, because he is probably never going to see it again.
Goodbye, freedom. Hello, anal prolapse.
Yeah. speaking of which, have you heard about how Martin Shkreli, you know, pharma douche, how he's had to, like, pay a bunch of Latino dudes to be around him at all times in jail?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But anyway. I'm sure it's the easiest money that's ever left his pockets.
Anyway, next up we got two new and one confirmed not running for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. First and foremost, the former governor of Colorado, Mr. John Hickenlooper. How do you pronounce that?
You had it right.
Hickenlooper?
Yes.
Yeah. Not to be confused with chicken pooper.
Oh, high school must have sucked.
Yeah. No, grade school must have sucked.
Yeah.
Oh,
in which
Lord.
Most of the people on the internet are like, who?
Yeah. There's at least like 20 something people. At least, or not 20, like 30 people so far that have come forward.
Forward to 6-hour debates.
Oh God, that's gonna be that's gonna be when you put the scissors in your ears. That's what I'm saying.
That's just where I'm gonna let Twitter filter the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, just let me know when anything interesting happens.
Usually when those happen, I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna wait and see what happens on Facebook in the morning. Next up, and the one we pretty much all saw coming, Beto O'Rourke announced that he's joining the race.
Yep.
Funny thing about him, he apparently has chosen not to announce how much money he got in donations.
Uh-oh.
Which would imply that it's not as good as he wanted them to be. Because remember, the only reason he managed to get as much money as he did last time was because he was going up against the most hated man in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And he still lost. I mean, granted, by a very, very small margin. And Ted Cruz is lucky that he managed to hold on to it like he did, but...
Have you seen the stuff that's been coming out about his, like, computer hacking days?
Oh, yeah. He was a teenage hacker.
Yeah, he was part of a hacker collective called Cult of the Dead Cow.
Yep, I've known about those guys.
And he was...
Yeah.
Those guys were famous.
And Psychedelic Warlord was his pseudonym.
Yeah. So this is, again, this is like 80s, 90s computer culture.
Yeah.
And I see no issue with any of this.
Yeah. It was a simpler time back then. Cult of the Dead Cow, that was like the major hacking group back in the day.
Back orifice, baby.
Yeah, yep. There is a poem that they posted in the 80s. The first two stanzas they have posted on this article I was looking at. Mm-hmm. I need a butt shine right now. You are holy, O sacred cow. I thirst for you. Provide milk. Buff my balls. Love the cow. Good fortune for those that do. Love me. Breathe my feet. The cow is risen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was a different time.
In a different
more
place.
Innocent time.
Uh-huh. Also keep in mind that this was back in the day when authorities thought that a computer hacker could whistle into a phone and suddenly get control of NORAD.
No, doesn't quite work that way.
And then finally, Senator Sherrod Brown said that they will not be running in 2020. Mm. And I think a bunch of people kind of breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah, and I think it's just a smart move on his part. Because we need that seat to be blue here in Ohio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would do well in the race. Because he's very much a good progressive dude who could very much carry the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that, like, Trump or Hillary couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither of them are that.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah. Cool. I think he'll be better served fighting in the Senate. Because the state's pretty much red right now. Mm. He's the one lone blue that has survived continuously.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, and next up, people are...
Just before we go on, I actually want to apologize to Bob Rock. He did not produce any Nickelback albums, so
there still might be a chance.
So you're saying there's still a chance. But anyway, next story. I can't believe that, you know, there are those individuals that, you know, you've seen them pretty much from like the infancy of their career. And from the very beginning, you've known these people were incredible assholes. And yet, somehow, you live long enough to people rediscover it all over again. Because this week, some old audio from Tucker Carlson, who is the, you know, he's got a show on Fox News.
Where he always looks like he's confused when people say big words.
He's a dog true. Looking into a mirror. Or as, like, my favorite one is, he always looks like a 10-year-old who's having sex described to him for the first time. Some old audio from back in the early aughts, I think around 2000, what was it, 2003?
This is 2006 to 2011.
Okay, so this was a little bit more recent than I thought it was, but he called into Bubba the Love Sponge, which is a radio show that's in... Where is that located at?
No idea.
Or is it like an internationally a nationally syndicated one?
It might be that.
Yeah, but anyway, basically saying a bunch of awful racist and misogynistic shit. And we're not talking about like the dog whistle stuff that you hear on his show. We're talking...
The real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Openly.
And the thing is, I've known about Tucker Carlson since he was on Crossfire.
Yeah.
Back in the day when that was still a thing on CNN.
Yeah.
You may remember it as the show that basically John Stewart almost single-handedly killed by
well, did single-handedly kill.
Yeah, because he went on and managed to do something that was next to impossible. He managed to turn the crowd against Carlson and Paul Pagala, like in the span of like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And basically CNN canceled it a couple months later and basically admitted, no, he was right. This isn't helping anything. It really became a bad thing when they decided to start putting it in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
But we're talking, okay, so where to begin? The first big one was about him when he was talking about Warren Jeffs. Now, Warren Jeffs, those of you who don't know, he was the head of the, well, you know what? Pat's the former Mormon in the group, so.
Yeah, Warren Jeffs was the head of the fundamentalist sect of LDS Church.
Yeah.
Basically, when they got to Utah, they splintered off into a whole bunch of different groups for reasons that aren't really important.
Yeah. The big one that most people know was the one that was led by Brigham Young. That's the big one that we think of. But there were the other smaller splinter ones. The fundamentalist ones were the ones that split away because they wanted to keep practicing polygamy.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one that Warren Jeffs – well, one of the ones that Warren Jeffs was head of, because there's actually a couple of them. But the one we're specifically talking about was located – I think it was in – wasn't it in Colorado?
It wandered a bit. There have been for the most part, it's a southern Utah, northern Arizona thing, but it's gone as far as Texas.
Yeah. And the thing was about this cult is that it was basically like completely isolated from the outside world, basically. Rigidly controlled. Think Cambodia under Pol Pot.
Yeah, that's about accurate.
You know, Warren Jeff's picture is everywhere. The kids were taught that he was president of the U.S. They quoted him every day. We're talking like full-on cult of personality here. And like, yeah, they practiced polygamy, but they didn't just practice any kind of polygamy. They practiced the type of polygamy that you can basically characterize as child sex trafficking.
Yep.
They had these arranged marriages where they would marry girls as young as 14 to men as old as being in their 50s.
His last name was invariably Jeffs, Jessup, Steed.
Yeah.
And Jeff's, not much else.
Yeah, Jeffs in particular was said to have molested several young girls by the time they finally caught him. Because he was on the FBI's top 10 most wanted for a while.
Yep.
And he kind of technically still runs the church from prison.
Yep.
But anyway, the point was Warren Jeffs had been arrested, and the big charges was basically rape of a young child, which, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. A lot of it really was.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have to go into semantics here. It's pretty clearly what that was. But
Tucker wanted to do that.
No, because that's what he always do, because he's a smarmy, amoral dickweed.
Yep,
and always has been.
There's an interesting thing that's posted in this article. Tucker called into the show from 2006 to 2011, mm-hmm. About 1 hour a week.
Yep.
So he was a huge fan of this dude.
Oh, yeah. and basically he said, well, no, the reason the guy's getting arrested is because he's a weirdo, you know? You know, and it's not like just he just raped these girls and ran. He wanted to make a committed relationship. I'm sure it made some sense in his head, but it's
not
still
the normal humans.
Yeah. But that's not even the most heinous parts, because then he went on further to say stuff like, women are primitive beings. They're not very intelligent. just really awful misogynistic crap like that. And then I think probably the crowning achievement of the shit crown was when they were discussing the then recently begun war in Iraq, and he called the people in Iraq as backwards, uneducated monkeys.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just give that.
Just
a
let
minute.
That hang.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been even more that's popped out since this whole thing was.
Yeah.
Come to light. Which
basically what happened is Media Matters tracked the stuff down.
Yeah.
And
I think they found another bit where they were talking about Miss Teen USA.
Oh, right.
He was talking about how he was attracted to the one girl.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. The guy who I think at some point was talking about how he would, beat the shit out of a guy that's said anything like that about his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's also some homophobic speech in here that we're not going to repeat, but suffice it to say, for some reason, the world woke up one day and suddenly realized only now that he's a massive piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, and I've known it for over 10 years.
Well, I think they know he's a piece of shit. It's just you need that, quick boost every once in a while.
Yeah.
A reminder.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the thing. You can only dog whistle so much before you end up getting some holes in the filter. And then some of it's eventually going to leak out. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was thinking you could maybe make another analogy with the leakage, but
yeah,
that'll work.
We'll let the listeners come up with their own. Send in your best suggestions. Anyway, next story we got. Basically, I think it was like twice. Was this like twice this week or twice in like a month? It was a relatively pretty short amount of time for something like this to happen.
I think it was twice in the last couple of months.
Okay. But anyway, twice in a relatively short period of time between then and now, not one, but two Boeing 737 models MAX 8 and 9 have crashed.
Somebody develops airplanes the way Microsoft develops software.
Wow. It looks Clippy shows up. It looks like you're seconds to impact. Need a hand?
Actually, that's not a very... That's not an inaccurate analogy,
no,
to be honest. Because what happened here was when they retrofitted the larger engines onto the 737s,
yeah.
What you ended up with was a plane that was very unstable.
Yeah.
So they added in stabilization software, but didn't bother telling the pilots about it.
Yeah, so it was taking
And here
their
I was just trying to make a tasteless joke.
Yeah.
And I think it was taking their inputs as trying to correct it as, this plane is just doing more stuff we got to correct.
Yeah.
And just overcorrecting until they crashed.
Yeah.
Killing everybody.
And let's see. This is... Okay, so their most recent one was Ethiopia, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what the one was before that?
No.
Lion Air.
Huh? You don't?
Indonesia.
Indonesia, okay. So, obviously Boeing's got a big, fat lawsuit coming their way.
You think?
Which may or may not bankrupt them as a company.
I'm guessing a lot of people would be signed up for that kind of a class action suit.
Oh, yeah. But
this all sort of came to a head where essentially people are like, oh, shit, how do I tell if my flight on, whatever day is going to be that sort of plane?
Mm-hmm.
Like that kept spreading until a bunch of countries started banning.
Yeah, basically grounding them.
Yeah.
Australia,
they got the whole list here. Australia, Brazil, Canada, Cayman Islands, China, Ethiopia, the EU, India, Indonesia, Mexico, Norway, Singapore, South Korea, Turkey, The UK, the US, and yeah.
Yeah, Trump actually did the sensible thing in this case, but
not at first.
Not at first.
They waited until his buddy up north said it was okay to do.
Yeah. But basically, the way they said it is like, look, we're grounding all the flights that aren't in the air yet. If they are in the air, we're going to let them continue to their destinations and then ground them there. But basically, a bunch of people were going to miss their flights.
Yeah.
And damn, like, that's the kind of cheapskate shit that gets people killed.
Yeah.
Well, the cheapskate part is not that, you know, they did this retrofit and put the software in there. Mm-hmm. The cheapskate part is that they didn't spend the money to retrain the pilots to let them know that that was there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we put this in. This is the behavior that you can expect. Yeah. There was none of that.
It'd be like, if your work just put out new rules, but didn't put out a notice like, hey, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And then like they start punishing you.
Pretty much, yeah. No, yeah, it really is like working at Walmart. They don't tell you shit until the morning you come in. Oh, yeah. Yeah, welcome, Walmart. We're going to have another good day. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have to do the rest of your job doing handstands now. Sorry.
Or your boss comes by and is like, wait, why aren't you doing handstands? What the hell? You're like, what are you talking about?
If you got times to rest your hands, you've got time to handstand.
Part of what actually led to my departure from Walmart was an issue regarding me not understanding what the scheduling policy was that week.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we're exaggerating here, but the worst part. Yeah, like we're making jokes here, but we're really not making that much up. Yeah. It sucks there. Anyway, next up. President Trump finally had to issue the first veto of his administration because both the House and the Senate voted to block his border emergency.
Which is amazing because the Senate is
overwhelmingly controlled by Republicans.
Yeah. So 12 of them switch sides, essentially,
mm-hmm.
to make it 59-41.
Yep.
That...
Yeah, probably wasn't expecting that to happen.
Yeah. Then he just tweeted out veto all caps.
Yeah.
Cuz that's all he could do.
No, sir, you can't do the veto over Twitter. Oh my god.
Yeah. It also means that this is going to be more evidence they're going to allow into the coming court case that this is definitely going to inspire in the near future.
Yeah.
I like the second tweet he put out. I look forward to vetoing the just-passed Democrat-inspired resolution, which would open borders while increasing crimes, drugs, and trafficking into our country. I think all of the strong Republicans who voted to support border security and our desperately needed wall!
It's like, oh, yeah, it's the written word version of a stroke.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, no, this... What they're saying is we want more drugs and crime and trafficking because that always happens.
Yeah. By the way, you noticed how he said Democrat inspired instead of Democratic inspired?
Yeah, well,
that's by design.
And he's blaming something that is his own fault on other people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We didn't have this problem before. But
no, we had other problems, but we didn't have this one.
No. Anyway, next up, all over in the UK, Theresa May's last Brexit deal got voted down hard. And now the UK is seeking to delay Brexit further down because.
Yeah. They can't do it.
They are literally having trouble finding the exit of a house from the inside.
Yes.
Basically.
Wait, what? How do we want to get out of here? Do you want to go through this door? Do we go through that door? How about the window? Should we just get a chainsaw and just cut a hole out of the house? We could do that, too. Can we go down the basement? Is that a way out?
Oh, how about a trap door somewhere?
Yeah.
Is there a trans-dimensional portal that we can use? How can we do this?
You know, somebody's got a cannon in here. Maybe we can climb into that and just fire ourselves out of the roof. But no.
Hey, we need more time because we have too many choices here.
So here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to vote to delay the Brexit, and then they're going to put out a plebiscite, basically a second Brexit vote. And it's going to come back, and it's going to say, no, we don't want to do Brexit, and all of this stops.
Yeah.
They need it because their economy has been tanking since the Brexit was officially announced.
Yep.
Yep. Hopefully they'll sort themselves out over there because, boy, is it ever a mess.
Like, what if he lets 500 shrieking dogs decide what we're going to do with our country?
Oh, it's really loud and obnoxious and nothing ever gets done.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great idea.
Want
to move on to the next one?
Yeah. speaking of EU stuff, the European Union has announced that they are going to be looking to end daylight savings time once and for all by 2021.
Cool.
Which,
what's taking so damn long?
Which basically means that daylight savings time is now going to be on its last legs.
Yeah, I know there's talk over here about ending it.
Mm-hmm.
Which then it's like, okay, which one do you want to stick to?
Doesn't matter.
No,
stick with one and stick with it, damn it.
So I don't think they've officially voted to put it into to make it official, but they're in sort of the final stages of doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By 2021. If you want to know who to thank for all this, it's not the farmers.
Nope.
It's never had anything to do with them, because guess what? The cows and chickens and all them, they don't know what time it is.
No.
They just get up when the sun comes up, and they go to sleep when it gets dark.
Yep.
It doesn't affect them at all. They're not sitting here like, oh, this is an hour earlier than usual.
Nope.
This is weird. Clock. No, this was because of the Kaiser in World War I. The Germans.
Yep.
Kaiser Wilhelm II.
And if you're thinking, why the fuck did we listen to Germany in World War I over this topic? Maybe it had a little bit of it being an okay idea back then.
Mm-hmm.
But in the modern era where we have things like electricity and lights, it's actually more of a detriment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have issues with clocks. And that causes them to be in more hurry those first few days and causes more accidents and such.
Yeah, because you haven't gotten as much sleep as you usually do.
Yep.
That is like your car clock probably does not change automatically.
Unless I figured out how to change mine long ago, so it's not a big deal for me.
Yeah, there's always that time where I get in, it's like, oh shit, oh wait, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realize I got to change it, and it requires me to hold the button down for a while. And it usually feels like it's a random time every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like 10 seconds. It could be like a minute. I don't know.
Mm.
There's always that fear.
And some of them you just need a master's in engineering to set.
Yeah.
There's always that fear. What if I went 2 hours over? Oh, no. I have to go back around again.
Mm.
But yeah, this is a thing as a modern society we should not be doing.
Yeah. Because it's ass backwards.
Yeah. And the only real problem is probably to do with businesses that are national, essentially. A lot of your media companies and such having to get their times all sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I lived in Arizona, which doesn't have it, because we don't need more sun, there'd just be half of the year, like Sports Center would be at 5 o'clock, and the other half of the year would be at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have to retrain yourself, like, oh yeah, the shows I want to watch are on an hour earlier.
I look forward to it ending.
Yeah.
Whatever they end up picking, just
stick with it.
Stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to tell our kids, there's a point where we change the clocks twice a year for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My clock, my alarm clock has a DST switch on it. So I just flip it when we change it one way, and I flip it the other way on the other half of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. Become useless.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like how I still have a VCR, even though I don't use it.
Yeah. Anyway. Next up, final serious news story. I say that, but another college football team won another championship. And so once again, they were invited to go to the White House, where once again, President Trump gave them a buffet of fast food.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there's.
Yeah.
They had, you know, we had budget issues and all that. There's nobody that working there.
Yeah.
Anymore. So, no, wait. They figured that out.
Yeah.
But the big change this time around, lots of Chick-fil-A in there.
Mm. Of course.
So, the lucky victors were the North Dakota State Bison, who are in one of the, I think, the second division. Mm. But yeah, he said, you know, we could have had chefs, we could have, but we had fast food because I know you people.
Mm.
And he referenced the chicken sandwiches set before the podium. Chick-fil-A, they say. Chick-fil-A.
Mm.
God damn.
You know, this would be quaint if it just wasn't preceded by a whole bunch of insanity.
Yeah.
And I guess he also at one point suggested the decision was aimed at supporting American business. She said, we like American companies, okay? It's like, dude, you can order out to any of the restaurants nearby.
You're, first of all,
there's a lot of really good caterers in D.C. Yeah,
including the one that the president is supposed to have. You know, the official White House chef.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if the White House chef quit long ago.
Yeah, and they can't find a replacement because nobody wants to work for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He just keeps asking for well-done steaks with ketchup on them.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm done. I'm done. Seriously.
No, you could convince me of that.
I will not be part of this atrocity.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, and now for the entertainment portion of the show. First off, Captain Marvel. Not only did it not bomb, it ended up breaking box office records.
Yeah.
It did $153 million domestically.
Mm-hmm.
Total is at $455 million.
Yep. That's more than quintupled its budget at this point.
And that was one weekend.
Yeah, one weekend.
Hmm.
So, you know, the various neckbeard chuds on the internet desperately wanted to do a Ghostbusters reboot on this one and basically kill it via review bombing. The problem was is that unlike the Ghostbusters reboot, this movie is actually good.
Yeah.
Well, that and there's no huge groundswell of people that grew up with a previous Captain Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, there's no nostalgia really tied to this outside of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, from what I heard, doesn't really have, like, a definitive origin story to her.
No.
It's just a few different ones, and they went with one of them.
Yeah. Basically, they wanted to kill the movie because they thought it supported feminism. Specifically, some of the comments made by Brie Larson. And they failed. Yeah. They failed hard.
Yep. Yeah, cause I think her whole point was that she wanted more variety and people on her press junket tour.
Mm.
A lot more women and people of color.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be evil. She's anti-white men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, like I said, they failed, and they failed hard. And you have noticed they have almost completely shut up about this topic.
Mm.
Yeah, it sort of comes to a point where maybe there should be a way of verifying that you actually purchased a ticket for the movie you're reviewing on Rotten Tomatoes or any other site like that.
Well, if you remember, Rotten Tomatoes specifically had to stop allowing people to rate movies that have yet to come out. Because that's what was happening here. All these douchebags and, you know, the bots they got off of the dark web started review bombing the fucking Rotten Tomatoes entry. And then the movie actually came out, and it did extremely well. And the critics seemed to like it. Obviously, people are going to see it in droves because it's made all the money. Could it be a sign that maybe this part of the internet is finally starting to fade away?
No.
At least as far as relevance is concerned.
But it's just people shouldn't pay them mind.
Yeah.
Like, stop bothering with user reviews before a thing comes out.
Yeah.
Or maybe altogether. Like, if Rotten Tomatoes got rid of the score from their user reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they got rid of user reviews altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think if you get rid of the score, like, there's not that number that they can affect.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's, like, the entire reason they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. But, I guess the other thing to learn is that I guess there really is no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, other than the fact that, yeah, this is a Marvel movie, which, I mean, let's be honest, ever since Iron Man, they make all the money whenever they come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the lesser ones like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this one's kind of a mid-tier Marvel movie by itself. But yeah, it's
But it's good context for what's coming. So
yeah,
you know, for the diehard Marvel Cinematic Universe fans, they're gonna go see every single one of them that come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of Disney and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as of this week, Disney has officially brought back James Gunn to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Walk back.
And it's like almost like they got tricked into firing him the first time around.
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine that, eh? Maybe 10-year-old tweets taken out of context probably aren't the greatest grounds for.
And being put up by unsavory individuals like Mike Cernovich.
Yeah. Yeah. So
again, once again, another sign that maybe that part of the internet is now finally starting to lose its relevancy.
Yeah. Because I think
we can only hope.
I think people are just starting to get sick of it. Like,
all right.
So this is actually going to be kind of interesting because he's going to be directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and the Suicide Squad reboot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pointed out that Guardians 3 has actually been delayed from its previous timetable just to accommodate Suicide Squad 2.
Cool. You know what? That's very interesting and telling in a little bit of a way. Because perhaps DC or Warner may be a potential acquisition target?
Maybe. Possibly.
Who knows?
Oh.
Anyway.
And,
those are two big conglomerates there with Warner Brothers and Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know how...
Yeah, I think
they usually don't work together.
I think it was just an honest effort to accommodate a schedule.
Yeah.
But
we got this kid. We have to coordinate our weekends sharing him.
Yeah. By the way, this is also a good time to mention that Disney is almost done with their Fox acquisition.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm expecting Endgame to have one hell of a post-credits scene.
Oy. Yeah.
Mm. But anyway. All right. Next up from Netflix. It has been announced that Netflix will be adapting Gabriel Garcia Marquez's classic brick of a novel, 100 Years of Solitude, into a TV series. Okay. So this is one of those books that I've been trying to read over and over again for years and just never have been able to get to it. I mean, well, never to get through it, really.
Yeah.
Basically what you need to know about 100 Years of Solitude, its basic story is this. It's about this family called the Buendias. Now, the patriarch of this family, the Buendias, they founded a town out in the middle of a rural, like, nowhere area of Colombia called Mokondo. And basically, this little town, Mokondo, has been cut off from the rest of the world for several generations until they start getting these gypsy merchants coming in, giving them little trinkets of evidence of the outside world. Eventually, Mokondo does sort of end up getting absorbed into the rest of Colombia. And then big Colombian election is rigged in favor of the Conservative Party. There's a civil war that breaks out. It sort of tears the town apart. And eventually, by the end of the book, Mokondo has turned into a third world hellhole, and the Buendias are inbred genetic disasters. It's basically a massive allegory for Latin America in the 20th century.
I could see why that would be difficult to get through.
It also happens to be one of those books that's in the genre of what's called magic realism, which is where you take fantastical elements and treat them like mundanity. Put it this way. One of the characters in your story is a vampire, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you acknowledge that the character is a vampire in the writing, it's not magic realism, okay? If one of the characters in the story points out and says that person is a vampire, or, you know, suspects them of being a vampire, that is not magic realism. However, if the character tends to drink blood often, only comes out at night, is very pale, and may or may not be able to turn into a bat, but is never directly called a vampire in the story by either the writer or any of the characters, that's magic realism.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's a hell of a roundabout way of going about it, but all right.
And as for, like, the inbreeding part, by the end, one of the new children that are born is born with a pig's tail.
Yeah.
And there's also, like, a spider in there with a human face that starts showing up. It's a weird book, is what I'm saying.
You're saying I should not watch this.
Oh, you should definitely watch it, because it'll definitely be easier to entertain.
I don't want to see any spider with a human face.
It'll definitely be easier to consume than the book is, that much I can tell you.
I need them to include a version where I can hit a button to skip the spider. But I guess this is going to be a Spanish language series.
Probably.
Yeah.
And that's what they're announcing.
Yeah.
So I assume subtitles is the focus.
Probably.
Let's see. I don't know if they have a date or anything like that. I don't think so.
I don't see anything in the article.
Yeah.
They just mentioned that.
Just seems like they're starting work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, also to remind people, it's pronounced Colombia, not Colombia. Colombians get very upset if you do that.
Yeah.
Next up, penultimate story for the night. We got our first trailer for the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And through a third of it, you can't actually see anything because it's so damn dark. But yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
As these things tend to do. I need to catch up so badly now. I'm so far behind. It's like one of those TV holes where it's like you don't think you're ever going to dig your way out of it.
It's true.
And then they just keep shoveling more seasons.
Content.
And
then you decide to jump in, and then 3 days later, you've finally woken up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I've seen everything. Yeah. I didn't need to watch seven seasons of this show at once.
Also, by the way, George R.R. Martin still nowhere close to finishing the final book in A Song of Ice and Fire.
No. They've already, like, diverged so much at this point. They've become different things.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
Not anymore.
No.
And finally, last thing of the night, we got a new trailer for Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this... when they introduce Captain America in here, that is basically continuing on from the post-credits scene that's at the end of Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it very much looks like they're just going to run with the fact that everybody's dead.
Yeah. At least for a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be surprised, like, most of what they're showing here is, like, the first 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is a good scene there where they're doing their, Armageddon impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Which I saw somebody on Twitter basically cut out that scene and put some Aerosmith in there to make sure all was right in the world.
Of course. You don't want to miss a thing.
No.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And it's weird that this is coming out in April. Wouldn't you want to save this for the summer?
And that pretty much is the summer, though. That's it. End of April.
Well, yeah, you're jumping in right at the early part of the blockbuster season. Yeah.
Is it possible that they've got something saved for the blockbuster season?
I mean, that's Spider-Man. That's June, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that movie's going to make all the money.
And they got to tell you how Spider-Man gets back.
Yeah. Because, he didn't feel so good at the end of Infinity.
No.
No.
And then Jeremy Renner shows up, and now he's got a weird haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, yeah.
It looks good. I want to see it.
All right. Well, it looks like we got a show, folks. All right. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, a comment, or just something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked to you in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, our little bit of unscripted shenanigans can be downloaded at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed with your ear holes. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Danolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, good night, and seriously, go watch Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix, like, right freaking now. It's that damn good.